Massachusetts gun laws are widely considered among the toughest in the country, but following a rash of shootings in Boston, some law enforcement officials say it's obvious there are ways around the rules. As WBUR's Fred Bever reports, when criminals here want to get their hands on guns, many of them head north.
In 2012, more than half of the guns that law enforcement seized in Massachusetts and managed to trace to their origins came from other states. The biggest suppliers by far were New Hampshire and Maine, as is the case most years. For Dale Armstrong, a federal agent who's chased gun smugglers most of his professional life, New England gun runners are like barnacles.
You know, one barnacle on the bottom of your boat's not a problem, but the collective of 1,000 barnacles on the bottom of your boat are a real big problem. They're hard work to scrape off. Nobody wants to help you do it.
In early 2010, Armstrong and fellow agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the ATF, found a couple of tough barnacles here in an ordinary parking lot just off I-95 in the small town of Wells, Maine. They'd been tracking a pattern of lawful handgun buys from licensed dealers in Maine. They believed the buyer was placing ads online and in classified brochures to quickly resell those guns to out-of-staters.
Now, not everybody doing that warrants attention. We look for how many guns are being bought, the type of guns. Are they the guns that frequently you see getting recovered in high crime areas? The cheap little handguns, the Jimenez, the Ravens, the Lorsons. The Ring of Fire guns is what they've been come to be known as.
A man named Randy Goodwin was selling just those types of guns, dozens and dozens, making him a relatively big player in the region's underground firearms trade, which is dominated by much smaller transactions. Reached by telephone, Goodwin declined comment for this story. It's a felony to sell guns to out-of-state buyers without a federal license, and Goodwin did not have one. Undercover ATF agents from Massachusetts, dressed like members of a motorcycle gang, arranged several buys with him. According to affidavits, Goodwin never asked for ID and went so far as to offer advice on filing serial numbers off the weapons. The third time, the ATF arrested him and turned him into an informant.
He told us that he had sold this person at least 150 guns. And he called this guy, so they set up a meet right here and told him, come on up. And it was this guy out of Massachusetts who was a multi-convicted felon and a known gun trafficker in Lynn, Massachusetts.
That felon was named Joseph Burns, who also declined comment. But let's stop here a moment to ask, why would a felon from Lynn, Massachusetts bother to drive 70 miles across state lines, two state lines, to do a gun deal in Maine?
It's an open-air bazaar, in some sense, for firearms.
Captain Mark O'Toole leads the Lynn Police Department's Criminal Investigations Unit. Simply put, guns are easier to get in Maine and New Hampshire, he says, and once they cross the border into Massachusetts, their price can double or more. Sometimes, he adds, they can be bartered for another commodity.
We had a group, there were gang members from Lynn, hardcore gang members, stocking up with wide variety of narcotics, renting motel rooms in central Maine, getting the word out there. They were looking to trade for firearms.
The flow of guns from northern New England to Massachusetts is propelled by key differences among state gun laws. It's all about private handgun sales in particular. In Massachusetts, every private handgun sale must be recorded and reported to the state within 7 days, and the buyer must have a license to carry from local police, which in turn requires a background check. The Massachusetts rules are tight. Up north, not so much. Buyers at federally licensed gun shops in Maine and New Hampshire are subjected to a federal background check for prior felonies or a history of severe mental illness. But when it comes to private gun sales at a gun show or even a commuter parking lot, no documentation is required, no background check, no record of the transaction. Darcy McElwee is an assistant U.S. attorney in Maine. She says that in Maine, a private seller doesn't even have to ask the buyer for a driver's license.
Under law, you don't have to. We just encourage people to do it because it's a safe way to transact the firearm. Maine has a prevalence of guns. We have a large population of people who use guns for completely lawful purposes. But as a result, we have greater access to guns in our state.
Here's the rub. It's always illegal for a prohibited person, such as a felon, to buy a gun. But the seller is barred from the deal only if he or she has reasonable cause to believe that the buyer is prohibited. In states such as Maine, with no license, paperwork, or ID required, it's pretty easy for private sellers to simply look the other way. ATF statistics show that Massachusetts is one of only three states where, in 2012, the majority of seized guns traced to their origins came from out of state. The director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research, Daniel Webster, says those states have one thing in common: strong local police authority over permits to purchase guns. He says it's inevitable that guns will flow to those states from states with looser rules, source states such as Maine. But he says Massachusetts' stricter regime does create an important barrier.
Even if you're importing guns from states with weaker laws, generally there's a cost associated with that. The street price will be higher, and you'll end up with less gun violence.
Gun control advocates say ending undocumented private sales and instituting a national background check for all gun sales would stem gun smuggling from one state to another. Some gun rights groups, including the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts, say better enforcement is the key, and there is research supporting both points of view. Law enforcement officials in a few states are piloting new ways to share information about gun trafficking across municipal and state jurisdictions, but absent federal action, there's not much more an individual state like Massachusetts can do about the interstate trade. And it looks like criminals will continue to take advantage of the situation, smuggling guns from northern New England into Massachusetts. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Fred Bever.
To learn more about gun trafficking and federal laws that limit access to gun trace data, go to WBUR.org.